Lunchtime is your connect time. Join Ian Bess for an hour of trending news, fascinating stories, creative dinner ideas peppered with good music. Wednesday at midday, join Ian Bess for the Lunch Bite.
Gives me great pleasure to welcome my guest onto the show today. And thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Lunch Bite. And I'm so looking forward to chatting to you. Susie van der Merwe, you're a mom of two. You're a wife, a daughter, a sister, a friend, an accountant, a manager, mentor, confident, motivator, and a corporate leader for a global cosmetic company. How do you achieve all of that, Susie?
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be joining today. How do I manage that? I have an amazing support system with my husband. I just think by being truly authentic, you know, one can handle more than you actually think you can. You need to have some kind of structure. Everybody needs to know what they need to do. We all sort of work towards our goals as a family. So, with the support that I have, I am able to sort of move my career and my goals forward. So I'm very, very blessed in that sense.
That's fantastic. And I can certainly hear from your personality, which comes out so, so profoundly in your voice, is that you are highly motivated and very passionate. Yet you're down to earth. But you're not your typical head of finance. So how did you break the mold, Susie? How did you become a non-accountant accountant, if that's such a term?
Yeah, so it is a comment I often get, you know, sort of the marketing salespeople who go, wow, Susie, are you really in finance? And I love figures. So I'm not, you know, I think finance people, we are put in a box, you know, and I'm maybe like a square peg in a round box. So I maybe don't fit the mold of your typical sort of finance person. But I think that's what makes it so exciting for me, is that because of my passion for numbers and the passion and energy that I have for the business, I sort of go and dig into the marketing side of things. I dig into sales and I sort of share the passion for the all round business. So yes, very much finance. I love numbers. I love digging into things and finding the nitty gritties, but I also absolutely love the other side of interacting with people, working with teams, motivating and getting people involved. So I've been very lucky that, the companies that I've worked for have allowed me to step out of the finance lane and not sort of just, you know, have to stay in one direction. So,
And that's fascinating. And I just want to touch on that point a little bit more. And before I do that, if anybody wants to ask Susie any questions, or if you want to give us some of your feedback, I'd love to hear from you on Telegram 061-895-1019, or you can SMS us on 34519. Susie, you mentioned that the companies that you've worked for, you've been fortunate where you've been allowed to step out of your box. But I think you must play a role in that as well. And because many people feel that they want to step out of their box, but they feel constrained. And if I just pick back to the song that we opened up with, 9 to 5, this new environment that we've all been exposed to probably suits you a bit better in a way than the 9 to 5, because you're not a typical accountant, even though you love the figures, but you're not a typical accountant. So can you tell us a little bit, how has lockdown changed your team dynamic, and what have you done to adapt your leadership style, considering that you are such a dynamic thinker already?
So things have really changed from a team dynamic. So the team I manage is a very close connected team. Lunch breaks I had together, tea breaks I had together, lunchtime walks I had together. We have little challenges, you know, who can plank the longest, or who can do, you know, wall squats for the longest.
Oh, yeah.
We try and sort of, you know, create a little bit of atmosphere, some personal interaction, some just fun, you know, laughter, hula hooping, or whatever it is that we do. And not having that has definitely changed the dynamic of the team. But But as a manager and as leaders, you know, we need to ensure that we can somehow maintain that connectivity amongst our teams. And how we do it on different platforms, you know, we need to make sure that we remain connected. We make sure that our employees are focused. They're still driven. You know, they still feel part of a team because, you know, being part of a team specifically during this COVID is sort of what will keep companies together and teams thriving and being efficient together. So, for me, my leadership style, you know, I've got a very much an open door policy. You know, everybody can come to my office, talk to me about anything, work, personal, whatever. And whereas previously people can just sort of pop their head around and say, you know, Susie, you have a minute. Mm. Now they have to actually pick a phone up and phone or send me an email, or it's not that personal anymore. So for me, I feel that I have to actually reach out to my staff more. I have to phone and see, is there anything that you would like to talk to me about? So it's more coming from me actually having to gauge where my staff are at, you know, how they're coping, you know, and how they're busy dealing with everything, and make sure that I am connected to them and make sure that sort of they're sort of talking amongst each other still.
You're listening to Ian Best Radio. I'm joined on the line by Susie van der Merwe. Susie is telling us her experiences during COVID-19, being a leader of a large organization, and how the balance and how important it is to interact and communicate with your team and keeping that open door policy. Susie, I want to pick up on what we were talking about before the break. You were telling us about the fact that you need to reach out more. You need to take the initiative. And I want to just spend a minute or two just focusing on this whole concept of it starts with you and you taking the initiative. How important is that, not only for yourself as a leader, but for individuals in your team realizing that in an environment where you can't just walk up to somebody's desk and get somebody's attention, and that people need to actually not wait for a so-called invitation. They need to speak up and they need to become more engaged and communicate more.
So, Ian, absolutely. During this time, you know, communication is absolute key. You know, these are all precedent time for everybody. These are new territories. And, you know, as leaders, we need to ensure that we almost over-communicating to our staff. There's a sense of being part of a team. There's a sense of being wanted to be needed. There's a sense of anxiety that needs to be addressed by having these open lines of communication to staff. So, yes, we might not have all the answers. I think that to me is the toughest thing right now is I don't have all the answers. I don't know how this is going to unfold. I can give you my best assumption of what's going to happen, but all I can offer you right now is open communication. And I have to take, as a leader, have to take the responsibility making sure my team is well informed about what's going on, how it will impact them, and making sure that I am the one that actually, you know, takes the first step. I don't want to sort of have them, everybody waiting for an invitation. So I believe that as leaders, maybe things have changed a little bit where we used to sort of say, you're open door, come to me, you know, whenever you want. We actually need to change that around a little bit and maybe take that step in leading from the front line, actually talking back to our employees and making sure that we've got those open lines of communication to them.
That's great, Susie. We've got a question from one of our listeners. Karen's asking here, Susie, have the staff been receptive to your calling and to your approach? And there's a second part to the question is, what have your staff or your team, what have they expressed to you that would help them feel then feel better to work from home? Sorry, I'm reading an aside monitor here. Working from home for me, still getting used to it. Sorry, the second part of the question is, have you asked your team what they would feel helps them to work from home better? So I think the first part of the question is, have they been receptive to your approach of reaching out? And secondly, what have they expressed that they need from you to feel more comfortable working from home?
So just the first point, when we work with different personalities in companies, so for my finance team, I've been very, very blessed that they have been very open to the way I do. And I haven't actually really changed the way I manage people. So things have still flowed very freely. I allow a lot of flexibility, and I think businesses need to ensure flexibility specifically during these times, you know, where we've got homeschooling, we've got kids at home, there's internet connectivity, you know, you're busy having a meeting and the dog starts barking and there's another spouse busy working as well. And we need to allow flexibility. And my belief is that by allowing flexibility, we'll actually create an environment that will allow staff to still be able to give 100% and still deliver to the standard of work that they have been doing before. So I haven't changed that. And I think I've been very lucky that I have been able to maintain that type of leadership, which is why my team have actually been very okay with the way that we have worked. I can't say that anybody has flagged anything that they specifically need right now. I do know internet connectivity often does play a role. You know, internet goes down. But, you know, as I say, I'm very blessed. My team will make up for this. Somehow I will always get the work that I need from them. So, they have been very, very receptive to the way that my style, and I think it's been great that I haven't really had to adapt my style of leadership. So during this time,
And I think, Susie, it talks back to a very important point that you mentioned earlier about being authentic. And I think that the fact that you've always been authentic to your team has played a key role in that. If you had to look now at the key lessons we're all learning, and also we're going to touch a little bit on going, looking a little bit to the future and what does the future look like. But before we get into the future, let's just take a checkpoint of where we are. What have you learned from a business perspective during this COVID and during the lockdown, which was really sprung on us as a surprise? No one was really planning for it.
Absolutely. You know, the biggest thing I've learned is how resilient employees are, how resilient we are as people, and that it's almost scarier coming out of this thing than it ever was going in. Initially, you know, there was such a concern, oh, we're going to be locked down, we can't go out. Yet now, you know, planning the way we're going to be returning to work and how we're going to structure teams and roles and how we're going to prepare the office is almost so much more scarier than it ever was sort of going into this lockdown. And I've always also learned employees are loyal and trustworthy. And I think that's been a turning point. You know, lots of companies have been very resistant to working from home. And I think it might stem from a trust. You know, are people actually working or are they busy, you know, sleeping late and going shopping? And I think to me that has been a key lesson that it is actually working. And you know, why rush back to the office when those people that are really actually still delivering good quality work, it really is working. And, you know, we have to maybe be open to a bit more of that. I spoke about flexibility and companies align flexibility. And with flexibility comes the responsibility of a manager to still hold people responsible and accountable for the work that they do. So, you know, as a manager, we're flexible. You know, people are trustworthy, they are resilient, but everybody still has to take accountability for what they have to deliver.
Susie, an interesting point. Sorry, I spoke over you there, but I want to catch you on one of those points, because I think many of us that had this fear, if I can say, and I use fear of allowing employees to do things where they were out of sight, if I can call it that. And the fact is that often, even if we don't intend to do it at the office, it is far easier, even if it's just visually, to be a micromanager, to just watch, you know, you're like a hawk watching people and that. How do you feel micromanagers are managing this? And what advice would you give to a micromanager considering you are the opposite of a micromanager by giving your employees, you're giving them accountability and responsibility, allowing them to show up in the way that they know they're expected to do. So what is your advice to micromanagers?
Yes, Ian, I must agree. I think micromanagers are struggling during this time. And I don't think they purposefully try and micromanage people. It's just their leadership style and their way of managing. But if I could give a micromanager advice, it would be to trust your employees. Mm. Trust that they will deliver. Allow them to take responsibility. Allow them to step up during this time and still deliver. You know, allow them to develop during this time and to show you that you don't have to be looking over their shoulder every 5 minutes or checklisting what they're doing or having a Zoom meeting every hour on the hour. Mm. You know, you don't need a listed report of exactly what they're going to be doing every day. Trust the process. And I think it will allow a decrease in anxiety of micromanagers by just allowing people to show up and step up into their roles and responsibilities.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's a big step. It takes courage to do it. But I think once you've got over that fear and you can actually see people shine, I heard somebody say the other day is that it's amazing how when you see one of your colleagues on a Zoom call working from home, you see a very different dimension. You don't just see the person sitting behind their desk in their job role. You see them as, and I used it in your intro, you see them as a mother, as a wife, as a housekeeper, as a school teacher, you know, all of those dimensions that you don't see people typically bring to the office, because people are sometimes very private. They don't bring their full self to the office, and yet now you're seeing a different side. Susie, I want to just touch a little bit on from the corporate environment and how things have changed. Now, you're in an industry, as I mentioned, you're part of a cosmetics industry company. Now, cosmetics is very much part of the, I wouldn't say the old way, but it's very much a traditional way of people going in and purchasing stuff in stores and having that tangible engagement. What is your feeling about that? Is the business going to change totally to an e-commerce platform, or do you see a way around it where there'll be almost a blended solution and how your customer base will engage?
Ian, yes, I absolutely think that e-commerce is sort of taking off at the moment. I think people have sort of been forced to actually maybe go online, go and explore how it works. I think a lot of people were previously very scared of using an online platform. And during this lockdown, they've actually been forced to engage in online platforms. So I absolutely believe that we're going to be seeing a significant increase in the online platforms across, you know, your e-tailers and your pure players. So that is absolutely a direction in which the business will focus. I have to give you my personal view here that...
Yeah, of course.
You know, a leopard never changes its spots. And in I know everybody's talking about the new normal. And if we don't come out of this, you know, what has changed? We haven't learned anything. I do believe that somewhere we're going to almost step back to a pre-lockdown point. You know, people are going to start opening up and wanting to go back to retailers and going back to the malls and touch and feel and experience things before they actually commit to buying it. And maybe because they've now got the confidence to actually buy online, they might go and feel in store and then purchase online later. So you might actually, as you mentioned, you might actually have a sort of a dual media, you know, a sort of happy medium between the two. Yeah. I do see e-commerce actually picking up, and I think, you know, we have seen it absolutely picking up. But I think the lockdown, you know, 12 months, and I'm saying, you know, we might be out of this in sort of 12 months, this whole lockdown. I think it's too short period for people to really change their patterns in the long run, sort of 3 to 5 years. But that's my personal opinion. I know people might differ with me and be disappointed.
No, and, I don't want to change and, it. And, And I think it's realistic, and that's what a lot of people are saying, is that in the same way that we can learn to adapt our hygiene habits, if I can call it that, we could become more cognizant of social distancing and being much more aware of what we do, yet we can't be in lockdown forever. So the point is that, like you say, we're going to have this blended environment where you may have people that will still want to go out and engage, but in a more maybe responsible or an aware way. But from the future, I guess in an interesting way, we are kind of now being forced in some way to embrace technologies and embrace platforms that we never did. From a data perspective, because you said you like the numbers, so I guess there's a data element to this. I guess having access to all this information that we've been overwhelmed with in some respects, how do you, from a personal perspective, ensure that you are distinguishing between fact and fiction? Do you cut off from the news? Do you focus on specific resources to get your information, or do you take it all in and then digest it according to your values and how you see things?
So, Ian, I chose from the beginning to not read all the news, to actually steer away from it, because it is so overwhelming. It is so negative and it is so draining. And what I have also realized during this is that, you know, all these chat groups of WhatsApp groups that are on, my friends have got all the summarized versions of anything that I need to know. So, yes, as you said, this is an absolute, you know, wealth of knowledge that was, it was just totally bombarded with information. You put the internet on and it's COVID, 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 and it's all, you know, dire. So I made the decision from the beginning that I would be very selective in what I read and then take time to process it. So there's not been much that I've sort of forwarded on or anything like that. And the things that I are forwarded on, I sort of choose what I want to read. And if I start reading it and it's sort of not, you know, going in sort of the direction that I wanted to. So, you know, I got a very, very interesting little illustration this morning, which was, you know, the three zones of COVID. You have the fear zone, you have the learning zone, and then you have the growth zone. So, and it was actually quite interesting to, where do you find yourself in this? Are you, you know, you managing this with fear? Mm. Are you learning and, you know, sharing? Or are you actually taking the opportunity to grow and, you know, think of the opportunities and think of the, of, you know, how this can sort of, you know, your emotional state and how you can be happier during this time. So that is how I felt with the information that's been available during this time.
And I think that's an important point, is, as you say, is that even though there are these three stages of COVID, we're all at different stages of that. Would you agree with that? That we're not all experiencing COVID in the same way.
Absolutely. And, you know, I heard a lovely metaphor. You know, somebody said, oh, we're all in the same boat. I can absolutely tell you we are not in the same boat. We might all be riding the same storm, but our boats are very, very different. You know, some people have ships. Some people have, you know, little lifeboats. Some people are hanging on to a buoy to just try and keep their, you know, their heads above water. And, you know, it's just sort of to go back as managers, how do we ensure that the condition of people's, you know, if I can call them their lifeboats, how are people dealing? How are people coping with life? And, you know, so we are all experiencing this so, so differently. As I said, you know, some have homeschooling. Some have got kids at home that are, you know, running. The internet's not working. So this is sort of really having to juggle, you know, where people haven't had any help, you know, suddenly their life is now, it's washing, it is cleaning, and the children are just making a mess, and you clean again, and then you've got emails and Zoom meetings and. So everyone is very much experiencing this very differently. And I think we just need to all be very sensitive towards each other and people around us, that, You know, some people are in a different zone. Some people are really scared of this. And I think we need to respect the fact that they are scared and allow them to be scared. Allow them to just experience this emotion of fear during COVID. Some people are learning and respect that they're taking this time to learn. And then those people that are growing, allow them the space to grow. You know, if you're in the fear zone, you can't criticize somebody that's trying to grow through this. So it's just being very respectful and mindful to everybody's different circumstances and how they deal during these times.
Tell me something. You say here, the world would be a very quiet place without music, and you don't do quiet. So interacting with people is quite, well, not quite, it's very important to you. And I got a message here from Glenda. Glenda writes in, let me read this one, and I'm going to read it properly this time. Make sure I've got the screen in front of me. When working from home, are companies having a work support and social Zoom at least once a month to support or vent or feel part of something? That comes from Glenda. Do you feel that there's that crossover in terms of ensuring their social interaction?
Yeah, so Ian, I have to confess, it's not something that I have done, but it is something that I'm working on. So I'm currently was working on a pub quiz to host with my team. So it will be a nice social, totally social. It won't be work related. It's just going to be either their spouses can join or their partners, whoever they want, and we'll have a nice Zoom sort of. And I think that creates a platform of sort of socializing in businesses. So the other thing I'm thinking of is allowing somebody to have a Zoom meeting. I've actually got a really good friend who is willing to actually meet with my team on more positive thinking and how to deal with, you know, going through these stressful times. So I'd like to engage in that and create a sort of a meeting for my team to have an hour of, you know, positive thinking, sharing what they're going through, how they're feeling, how they're experiencing. So, and those are two things that I am working on to allow that social platform.
That's brilliant. Susie, I want to jump into, because we're running out of time. I can't believe it's already 10 to 1 and there's so much to still talk about. But before we touch on the looking forward and looking to the future, you did touch on a little bit earlier, but from a personal perspective, tell me one or two things that have really stood out for you personally that you've experienced or learned from the lockdown and the whole COVID experience.
So, you know, before we went into lockdown, you got all these little, you know, illustrations of how the extroverts are going to really be struggling during lockdown. Yeah. And I must say, I have really, really enjoyed getting in tuned with my inner introvert. I've loved realizing that I'm actually maybe more of a homebody than I thought I was. You know, my husband always says, oh, what's on the calendar this weekend? And we go, and we're busy. And I've actually really, really enjoyed being at home and being in this space and allowing this introvert of mine to even when we came out of lockdown level five, I almost had a bit of anxiety, like, oh, are people going to expect me to come out again? So I've really enjoyed creating structure in my life. I've realized how much routine is so important to me. And if you don't have a plan for the day, I mean, you could sit in your pajamas and watch series the whole day if your children allow it, but you know, you can actually become really lazy, but having a nice routine and a structure and maybe getting up in the morning and doing some your self-development, spending 20 minutes on yourself just to focus, get your mind right, get just get into a good space and sort of from there, you know, take the day and, you know, I've really, really enjoyed it. And I've also learned, I should have probably stuck to my diet. But we'll have to work on that.
I think everyone's going to have to work on that, and we'll catch up on the fact that you're a spinning instructor as well, which I forgot to mention. What does the future workplace look like from your perspective?
I think the one thing that is going to stick after this is the online platforms that have been created during this time. I think, you know, traveling to see customers, flying, and, you know, there are so many online platforms now, and people have become so accustomed to working online now and interacting online that I actually think this is something that might stick. You know, as I said, a leopard never changes his spots, but I think there are things that absolutely will sort of stay intact after we come out of lockdown. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, the space is going to change. We will still, I think, you maintain your social distancing. But the one thing I do think we need to ensure that if we remain in remote working, how are managers going to ensure that there is constant development in a team? How are we going to ensure that skills are still being built? You know, you know, it's so hard to delegate something these days because it's so much easier just doing yourself and instead of trying to show somebody else. But by not showing somebody else, you know, they are not learning. How are we going to ensure that we are going to be sharing best practices amongst teams? How are we going to ensure that we can move teams forward, that we can take on new things and change the way we do things? And so that to me is something that still needs some thinking about as to how to move it. We've created platforms to maintain, but how are we going to move things forward? And I think that is still something that is I don't have an answer to, but it is something that needs some work.
I think Susie, that's an awesome way is the fact that we don't have the answers, but we need to ask the questions and we need to find those answers. Susie, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. And as I say, we could go on for hours. If our listeners want to engage with you, because no doubt there's a lot of questions, I haven't been able to get to all of them, so I will send those to you. Where can people reach you?
Ian, right now, probably Facebook. I'm just...
Fantastic.
She's kind of mad, but yeah, on Facebook. So if anybody wants
I will share that on our website. And Susie, take care, look after your family, look after yourself, and please keep up this awesome attitude, because I think, as you said to me, and I'm going to read your quote, this is Susie's quote, I believe attitude determines altitude, and that you are what you believe, so believe in yourself. Susie, thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks, Ian. Bye.
Bye.